Yeah, hi. I'm Stefan Seltz, and this is my first English speech. Yeah, and my first speech at all at this big attendees. Bigger font size. Too big? Okay, so this speech is in three parts. This is spam sources, how to fight, and then how to set up defense against spam. The definition in the jargon file for spam is to mass mail unrequested, identical or nearly identical email messages, particularly those containing advertising, especially used when the mail address has been culled from the network traffic or databases without the consent of the recipients, synonyms UCE, UBE, blah, blah, blah. There are numerous of examples, and I have some from 1998 to 2002 of these messages you will probably all know from your inbox. And there are some ways to fight them. And the sources of these email addresses they use and often sell on CD are crawlers. So they, just like Google, indexed millions and billions of pages. They just index millions and billions of email addresses. They get them from your Usenet postings. This is one of the biggest sources. So if you ever post to the Usenet, get yourself an alias for something similar before you post, or you will get spam anyway to these addresses. Then if you have web pages online and say, contact me via blah, 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 mail to, yeah, they got you. If you are linked somewhere and if you're in a search engine, which is in most cases true, you get spam and you write inside a guest book or you subscribe to a mailing list and then they decide to put the archive online and this gets into the search engine. The search engines get crawled from the crawling stuff and there you are inside this big databases. Then privacy abuses, you make any online games or you register your sound card or your phone or whatever you do and this site gets hacked or anybody who is in this big database gets a yearly newsletter containing we have great products. This is some kind of spam where you can get them and this often they say they have external sources to have their email sending stuff and then big companies just copy the whole customer database to some agency and say, yes, send out the newsletter for the big phone company. I did it myself. Yeah, for some kind of those companies. And you won't believe how it works. They just send you a MySQL dump. Often they have really close, detailed information what kind of customer you are in these databases. Like they have profiles, what kind of guys use this phone. So they have fun phones and you don't want to know. Also insecurity is another source for spam. All these companies who have these big databases are often a nice goal for hackers. And the biggest companies, the bigger the company who gets hacked, the bigger is the email address amount you get. Another problem in this area is the SMTP protocol is really old. It's one of the first invented and used to communicate, and it's nearly not improved since that. So you still use the same stuff John Postel once did, and there's no authentication. It's interesting how confused people are if you write them emails written from BillGates@Microsoft.com and they wonder, how did you do this? And you say, yeah, you just put it into your mail program and do it. Mail spoofing is the easiest thing every kid in 6 year age can do. And they do. And yeah, this is one problem. And there are numerous of examples. I just searched around and got some files, all spam since. And the spam involved since then, so they started like free download of 1,000 potential buyers instantly, 1,000 new customers, blah, 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 blah. This is 1998 or spam from 1999. What's the target email? Get 2,000 CD-ROMs with free email addresses. And it's so stupid. They advertise what they do for you. You should pay them that they did their job right for spamming you to sell you the tools they used. Totally crazy. Or 2,000... partners wanted, everybody, get 100 bucks on your bank account. This is another thing, regional spam. Americans and Asians, they don't get it, that maybe you are not interested in an American bank account, or that you can't read Asian or Asian languages. Like, my new software versions all uses Chinese language signs, so I probably need to learn that one day. This is 2001, probably some HTML mails now. Pure Energy. Get two. Do you know this OZ? Unzen? So, enough examples for the spam. And the spam topics are often drugs, Viagra, prescription stuff, illegal drugs, illegal software, how to build bombs, information. They say you get a whole CD-ROM full of credit cards. Great. I always wanted that. Or social security numbers, secret government facts, how to make money fast, chain letters, sex, pictures, videos, toys, enlarge your penis. You all know this crap. And there are some ideas involved since then how to fight spam. One way is to set up a filter who might or is allowed to send you email or who's not allowed to send you email or combinations of which you always allow or always deny. This is the white list and black list concept, like deny all mail, but my friends may mail me, or allow all, but these spammers are not allowed to. Another thing is set up big fines. Spamming is illegal. And they always try to get spammers, and you get all this news ticker, $10,000 fine for a spammer, but it's only rare that they get prosecuted, because it's hard to get somebody from some island IP who spammed you. Or often these are hacked systems in Korea or somewhere. They have no chance to get it, because they can't administrate that system. Another thing is to use encrypted stuff or trusting certificates using start TLS. So before you start sending the email, you exchange this TLS certificate stuff. So you know if somebody is mailing me, I know who it is. And from time to time, they start implementing it. So even I discovered that Arco and Big German ISP just enabled this feature, and I saw in my emails, all my emails I send out with them are encrypted, at least for one hop. And another thing you can do is build spam traps. There are some interesting techniques how you can fight so stuff. Now this is the part, what ideas you can do, how you can fight against spam. One big point is set up an automatic system that detects spam characteristics. So you know the words or the ways how spam looks like all capital letters. The second way is to compare spam with other spam sources, or setting up a database, and everybody who gets spam sends it to the database, but not the spam itself, just a hash of the body. So you can say, okay, I got this enlarge your penis mail already, and he said it's spam, and 10 submissions that this is spam, so I trust this is spam. But this is a problem. I come later to the point setup defense, where I will say, look up IP and then spam open relays database. This is a quite common system. So they set up databases with IP numbers of open relays, or dial-up IPs. Open relaying is the problem that some mail servers allow everybody to write mail via them. So it's a good source to send mail throughout this relay server, so they can't easily discover who wrote this mail. And there are some databases where you can look up, is this an open relay? And if yes, I won't accept mail from this mail system. The idea behind it is that you can, or you say, I don't accept mail from dial-up hosts. Because often spammers use their T-Online or AOL address, set up their own mail server and directly send you the spam. And then you can say, okay, I look up this IP, and there are databases like spam noun ISPs, so I don't trust this subnet for mails. But I don't like the system because you trust some database from some guy who decided to set up an IP database with untrusted IPs. Or they put software into it because it relays mail. You will lose mail. You have no control over these sources. And if these sources are hacked, you might get no mail for some day as well. The other system is this whitelist, blacklist thing. You build up a system like our CCCDE is good and hotmail.com is evil. You automatically, everybody who's written mail goes on your whitelist. And so, you know, if I write him a mail, he is whitelisted for writing mails back to me. Big fines in the justice system is a nice concept of saying for each mail you send out, you have to pay a $1 fine. It's hard to identify these spammers, like often hack systems are used to send out spam. Some countries don't care, or ISPs in those countries don't care about spam problems, or they even advertise, you can't send spam in our network, come to blah, 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 ISP.com. Professional spammers make enough money to pay the fine, and they change often their ISP, so 1 month they are on this ISP, and the next month they are on another ISP. Star TLS is a nice idea to identify the sender and to have an you know who sent it, because you have got, say, I got the certificates of all my friends, and then to see if it's sent from the certificate, it's true, and this is true that he sent it. The problem is you need a certificate infrastructure, and it's a bit hassle to set up all the stuff. But if you want to have encryption and you want to, in a big company, now that it's really the email of your boss, you might implement it. Another way is set up spam traps. So this, you make this big lists of email addresses, and then you set up a mail server who responds really, really with really, really low speed on it. So like you set up a list of 100 addresses, and then every time somebody writes an email to this address, the mail server waits 5 minutes or 2 minutes between every mail. So if some spammer hits this honeypot or whatever, however you would call it, he needs really long time to send you an email. Or you can record while they're sending email to your mail server who is sending it, and you might send an automatic abuse mail to the guy who sent email to this account. The third part is set up defense, set up filter, set up spam detection by characteristics, and active spam traps. The setup filter thing can be done at the MDA. There are three parts in the mail system: the mail transfer agent, MDA, mail delivery agent, and the mail user agent. Yes, and you can easily set it up on a mail server where the MDA delivers the mail from the mail server to your inbox. On this level works TMDA. TMDA is a system that works with tags. So if you send somebody an email, he sends back an email to the email address and says, confirm this email to a special email address, which is configured in the mail server, like everything with Stefan minus some string comes to this script. And then if this, like an email address from GNU.org, if this email address is confirmed to this address, this email address gets on the whitelist and never gets hassled again, like confirm this message, because you know this is a real person. Of course, even spammer could respond to it, but they often use fake email addresses so that even these emails never reach the sender. I use this system myself, and many people write me emails, why did you set up this crazy system? I don't want to respond to your email just because I wrote you an email. I never will send you email again. And the thing is, I get about 30% spam a day, and it reduced the spam to zero. And they just needed to send an email one time to get onto my whitelist. And I have set up several domains like ccc.de. They get never confirmation emails. You can set up the system on your own system if you have a Linux system, or is it written in Python? So you could even download Python onto your system and install it locally on your system. Different systems like SpamAssassin or BogoFilter takes in way, like they compare the email against noun characteristics, like how spam looks like, and then they modify the email and write spam in the subject or things like this. So you can set up and filter in your mail user agent, like Mozilla, whatever you're using. And if it's spam in the subject, you can automatically delete it. So SpamAssassin is a quite known and good program to do it. I took an email from 1998 and put it inside SpamAssassin. And SpamAssassin makes scoring rules, like he detects there's a from missing. So this could be spam. There's some special header file which looks like spam. There's some date missing. The subject is missing. There's an future in the body, future mailings. There's an removal information in the body. It says to be removed, reply via email, and all these rules get points. So this email got 9.3 points of spam. Like the higher the score, the more likely it's spam. And in this configuration, you need 5 points to be spam. And this is quite nice because it works good, because spammers often set up their emails in a special way. So you can compare. Another thing is BogoFilter. BogoFilter is a tool from Eric R. Raymond, and he compares emails, like you feed him with 100 emails, and then it knows how spam looks like. Like, they often use stars to make new lines, like these sections, or they often use special words like enlarge your penis, or make money fast, or all that stuff. So you get then a spamicity index back from BogoFilter, which after it learned from your spam you already got how spam looks like, then you feed him with your new mail, and then he says it looks like spam, or it does not look like spam, or it looks like spam in this percentage. Another idea is rather Razer. Oh, this is wrong. Let's just see. this is a distributed system of databases who contain spam. But they don't contain the message, they just contain a hash of the message. So they calculate a special value of the body of the message and send it to this distributed databases which are all over the round the world, and you can feed them with spam, and so they, it's like this big database of spam. The problem is somebody forwarded all mails of the Bugtrack mailing list to this distributed spam database, and then if you ask, is this Bugtrack mailing spam, it always responded yes. Somebody forwarded the Bugtrack mailing list to the spam database. So I don't like this system because you trust some database of users. You know, sometimes users are stupid and forward every mail to their system. Do you want to ask something? Yeah. And so you trust some database which is even not controlled by anybody. Or you don't want to trust any database to say you what is spam, what is not spam. Here's an example. It asks this system where is the nearest discovery server, where is the nearest server I can ask, and then it sends a hash. And the signature is this, and if the signature is inside the spam list, it's spam. And then it says, yes, it is spam. However it made it. Actually, that's it. Wait for the microphone.
How does it handle spams with an individual ID in every email?
Which system?
This last system, the Razer.
It makes a hash of the email. And
yeah, but sometimes you get mails with an individual ID in each email, so that they can track who has responded to which email was responded. So you had to take only part of the email to create the hash.
They only use the body, so they use, probably they even don't use the subject line, because the subject often includes this ID.
Arbitrary string.
Yeah,
so it's attached to the bottom of the mail most of the times.
Yeah, probably individual spam is a problem on these systems, on these hash systems.
I think most of the systems that you mentioned don't work very well, if not all. And I will give you some reasons. I think the way we should use email is not trying to complicate communication, not trying to prevent communication. The system that you advocated, the TMDA, I think, it definitely prevents communication. Of course, it may block all your spam email, but you can do that easily with blocking all email, so you will not get any email.
They're not blocked. They just get to a different folder and I read them all every 3 days. So also, it might be...
Also, this system has the fundamental error that it breaks the rule, never respond to spam. This system responds to every spam that you get. And you help the spammers to build up a valuable database of working addresses, because you automatically respond to every spam that you get. And of course, it can be automatically circumvented.
Yeah, but even if you respond with no such address, you respond to the email. If you bounce a message.
You verify that your email address is existing, because the fact that a reply gets sent back proves that your email address exists.
Okay.
An unknown user error message from some mail server doesn't prove that the address actually exists.
Okay.
So this is why I don't recommend TMDA, because I think it annoys people that want to write your email.
You can even put off the sending mail and just do it yourself. Some people just use the dated feature. You can set up a date which email address is valid. So if it's this response is within a week, you don't get this confirmation email. Mm-hmm. And after communication, mm-hmm. you set up a proxy on your system, and if you write them an email, they got on your whitelist. So even if you write me a mail and I answer to it, without that you confirm the message, I set you on my whitelist by just replying to the spam I read a day after it.
Well, just one point. I think email was meant for quick, direct communication, something that you could put on your web page or post on Usenet. If you have any further questions, write to this address. And this type of communication, it is totally prevented, and email use will never be the same again. And you're just kind of giving in to the spammers, say, okay, so we cannot use that media anymore the way it should be. Anyone can write to me asking questions, people that I don't know, people that might have interesting ideas that I've never heard about. And you just annoy them with the automatic reply, and you give a valuable database of valid addresses to the spammers. And so this is one point. The next point is the keyword-based system that you mentioned. Spam Assassin is the most famous. I think keywords will never work because, yeah.
Yeah, it's our characteristics, not our keywords.
This is just not the way that language works. I think the only system that shows a little bit of promise is with the...
Bogofilter?
Yeah, Bogofilter with the combined heuristics. I don't know the Bayesian statistics. I think that works well. Apple has that in the mail app, and you need a little time, like a month or so, to train the system to your regular email communication, and after that, very, very little mail gets lost, and I think every mail that gets lost is a total catastrophe. For spam mails, it's merely annoying to press delete, but if I lose real email, that's absolute catastrophe, and if you use a system that will make you lose
email...
I never
use email with TMDA. I never lose these emails.
Well, you said people don't write to you anymore because they get annoyed.
They just... No. Actually, if I respond to them, they got on my whitelist, and then after a week or after a day, they say, how did you do it? I like to set up this tool too. And this is about one third of the...
I think I've made my points.
Yeah, sure. Give the mic to the other audience.
I will not talk about the ethical impact of spam prevention, but I'm talked to my prof once again about that, and he came, and Andreas Pritzmann came up with an idea. I think it could be a general solution to this. If we have digital signatures in the internet, proven good digital signatures and micro payment, so I can pay by click 1 or 2 cents to another people, simple. So I can accept only mail if I get paid 1 cent for each mail. And
this is totally crap.
And if I think the mail is okay for me, I press this mail is okay for me button back.
Have you ever met somebody
Just a moment. And he get the send back. And if I think the mail is not okay for me, it is spam, I don't give it back. So this would mean, this is an idea, I think, to improve the closeness for the sender of the spam, like he has in other things.
I got the point, but you don't want your credit card company give you a cent for every email you answer. This all your accounting and billing stuff you set up with this crazy micropayment crap. There are people who don't have a bank account. How do they pay? Do you think they insert a coin into some system? If they're in the internet cafe, they say, okay, you get a point for reading my email.
This is a problem. It's okay. Spam is a real problem too.
So yeah, but money has nothing to do with spam prevention. It's just losing money.
Money is
spam.
The only thing to prevent spam, because money is the only thing or the most thing that those who send spam have in their heads. So they must feel it through money and not.
I want to close this thread, but imagine that people living in some villages don't have money. Just as an idea.
Hello. I'd like to add two things. First, regarding the already mentioned, Bayesian approach, which kind of calculates a frequency for word or phrases in an email. And I don't know whether anybody has tried here the junk filter of Mozilla 1.3 alpha, which implements such a junk filter. And there is something about this type of filter on the Mozilla website, but I've tried it, and for me it doesn't work. It classifies completely inappropriately. That's the first first thing I wanted to note, but I think this can be definitely improved. So maybe this will work, and this is very similar to the Apple Mail approach, which obviously seems to work.
Okay.
The second is...
just to respond to this, is the problem is if you write somebody an email, I just got again the spam containing make money fast, all this stuff. Or if you forward somebody spam, it gets marked as spam. So all these tools should not used automatically deleted. And
That's very clear, and that's an argument for not bouncing but for tagging. And for leaving it to the mail recipient to decide what to do with the tagged mail.
True.
Automatically bouncing is really a very severe, can make very severe problems.
True.
The second note is that the so-called DNSBLs, the blacklists, at least for me, work very well, but not with automatic removal, but with tagging again.
Okay.
Because they don't recognize all. I think there is a false negative of 5%.
But it's 5% of 100 email is 5 email.
That's absolutely true. But
and like,
removing
like Jens said,
removing 95 out of 100 spam is pretty good, in particular if there is no wrong positive. That's
no,
the point.
No. I must agree with Jens, who said every email wrongly detected as spam is one too much.
Oh, excuse me, then I've confused this. Even one out of 5,000 wrongly tagged as spam is a catastrophe.
Okay.
I wanted to say that 5 spams are not detected as spam.
So
there
is
zero wrong
positive.
If the
I love you email you got from somebody is the one of the 5,000, you might... Okay.
I got some point to the TMDA. Sometimes spammers use faked reply addresses or reply addresses that belong to innocent people, and then those people or the postmasters of some domains, they get a lot of mails and bounces, and they are annoyed. And is there any way to prevent this?
No, there isn't, because if somebody sends email with fake address, that's the bad guy. I don't know, if you say never respond to email to spam, it's hard to differ then. Why don't, if they say write to this email address to buy 10,000 social security numbers, why aren't you allowed to reply to it and say stop, or just writing an abuse mail to this stuff? I probably forgot Spam Corp. There's a pretty nice system where you can report email. And they send automatically abuse mails to those companies and ISPs, and they make it anonymous. So Spam Corp.
And how long do you think will it take until spamming tools are available on the market which can automatically deal with confirmation mechanisms as you described?
If they deal with this confirmation stuff, they prove who they are. And if you get proof for spam, it's an easier way to do something legally against it. So, like nowadays, where terrorism is an excuse for having log files for half a year in the future and the past, it's probably a bit harder for them. And if they really acknowledge that they exist and say, yes, but I want to send you spam, even if you ask, do you exist and this is not spam, then this is probably, they're probably in the half a year this won't work with responding and nobody will use TBA then. Might be. But you have always an pro and a con in a solution. Any questions?
I think the primary cause for spam is that you gave your email address to someone in the web.
Yeah, but that's the idea of email addresses, giving them out to contact you. But that's the basic idea. If you say,
but
okay, sorry.
I think you have to decide to whom do you give your email address. If you enter your information into every website to get something free, then you get much spam.
Yeah, but this idea is a bit stupid, sorry. But if you write email, it passes the internet, and then it's known to the public.
If you write email to someone you know.
But there are some parts of the internet you can't control.
Yeah, I know, but I think you can reduce the amount of spam if you think over.
Use your email address and think before you enter it into and insert your email here, you can reduce it. Sure, that's true.
I want to share the opinion of this guy who said, let them send spam. It's easier to delete them than to try to avoid. Think about the advertisement in TV. Everyone has said, how could they? And everyone's watching. And you cannot avoid it. And so I think it's easier to delete those spam mails from your in than to try to protect yourself and to have a wrong feature of this.
I don't know. If you say it's okay to send me spam, I just have to delete it. I wouldn't recommend that. If you say, okay, there's a problem with spam, it's okay to send me spam, I just have to delete those 30% of my inbox. Because you still have to identify them. And you have to read them, and reading 30% of your inbox and saying, okay, that's not what I wanted to read, is hard.
A friend of mine had an anti-spam system running on his own mail server. In the moment, he doesn't have an own mail server, so now he gets fulfilled with spam again. But he had the following principle. He was very active in Usenet and had a lot of web pages. And on every page and every news posting, he had another from address automatically generated.
Yep. This is his keyword-based thing.
And then he has a filter who delays all incoming mails for half an hour. And every mail that gets in as dupe or 5 times or 10 times or 100 times, then he had a limit. When a mail gets in more than 5 times and is nearly identical, he has 2 or 3 lines that may differ for some hexadecimal tags and individual numbers and so on. And if the rest is identical and he gets more than 5 copies, then the mail is deleted.
Have you ever got some email from somebody who thought, I forgot the attachment, sorry, here's the email again, and then he forgot the attachment again, and after 5 times he managed to use his IOL account to send out the attachment? This is crap. If some provider misconfigures his mail system, which happens regularly, you would just delete email because it sends too out often.
He also controlled that those mails arrive for different of his addresses.
Yeah, it's and the same. It's the same email. If the provider discovers that his mail server duplicates every email.
But then the mail is sent to the same address twice and not to 5 different addresses the same email.
Okay.
And he tested it for 3 months and read all positives, and he had no false positive and only 3 false negatives in about 3 months, and over 5,000 emails he received, and then he put it into effect to delete all positives unseen. Okay. And this ran for over a year, and he reported no problems, but nowadays he doesn't have his own server, so yeah. He has the problem again, but he tries to get an own server as soon as possible.
Yeah, you put a lot of work inside SOS work, so you invest about an hour or even half an hour on a weekend to set up SOS systems, and most of this stuff is involved with knowing how works my mail server. Where do I put those stuff, and how do I set it on my system? So this is not a rule concept, what you can do. What we have to set up now is to make some how-tos, how to implement it on your system and even under Windows. Like many say, oh, he can't implement it with Windows, so that's his problem. And I like the idea of this Mozilla stuff, that they make plugins for spam stuff. So you can do your own filter system, like green email addresses don't get through.
I only like to confirm that I wouldn't like to have to delete 30% of my mailbox either. And people who have to read email professionally, like they have an email address that is exposed deliberately on the web because someone would like to send an email to info@bbbccc.de or whatever, and they spend like half of their workday with reading, recognizing, and deleting spam. They simply go mad, and it's no use at all.
Yeah, or like if somebody uses your address to spam, and you get locked out by all these automatic systems, and you got into some database like, this is the spam of evil, you just locked out and can never use this address again.
I want to remark on the idea of deleting identical emails to several people. What do you do if five of your people there got subscribed to the same mailing list? They will get exactly the same email to several addresses, and your system would delete those mails.
No, it was to the one guy who got the system. So this is probably only mailed to one person.
Yeah, I'd like to add an experience from the institute I'm working for. The user experience there is there's a broad range of from being annoyed about spam or being very, very annoyed to being not involved at all. Like, the 2 spam mails I receive a week is not a problem for me. That's in the same institute. For example, I'm reading the webmaster account there, and there is 98% junk.
Yeah.
And only 2 webmaster, valid, but these are requests which are to be answered. Finding the 2% valid out of 100 is really very annoying. But other people have, of 100 people working in that institute, have no problem, maybe 20 of them or 25. So I'd like to distinguish between the broad range of policies we have on the recipient side, like Bayesian approach, DNSSBL approach, simply pressing the delete button, being not annoyed at all. I think this is really user-depending, and it depends on the operating system and so on. And I think a combination of appropriate things can be fine. But the real challenge is on the server side. Because one scenario we have at work is that there are a few very important people who just do not want to receive spam at all. And they do not want to download it to a remote location over, for example, a modem line. So they are requesting the junk mail to be processed on the server. And I think this is nearly
impossible.
Undoable.
Yeah.
This is absolutely impossible. Sounds good, but it's a great challenge or impossible.
Yeah, one interesting thing is like in business, you can never use this TMDA. If you tell anybody to set up this system on your business email address, they say, no, it won't work. And you can on business addresses, I wouldn't use it, and I don't use it on my business address as well.
So I think we found out that all the automatic systems are, well, they have
evil.
Their
don't
have
use them.
Have their problems. Every spam detection system has problems. And just to close it, another word of warning regarding SpamCorp and regarding real-time blacklist, I think, RBL. Mm-hmm. SpamCorp has been used in the past in stupid things like fighting on IRC over stupid things, and then someone just forwarded the address of the enemy to SpamCorp, stuff like that.
So do you know what SpamCorp does?
Yes.
They sends an abuse email.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, it sends an abuse email, and that could lead that you will lose your account at your ISP. There are cases that people lost the account at ISPs because someone didn't like what they wrote on their web pages, and they made it via SpamCorp.
But the guy who decides to send something to SpamCorp says, this is spam, and I intend that he gets a warning from his ISP for not sending these. And the ISPs normally write an email then and send, did you write this? Is this your fault? Because there are spoof stuff.
There have been cases.
Okay.
Google for it.
Fact.
There are cases on the web. Another thing is what I would call net racism. Something like the great idea of filtering out everything that comes from hotmail.com,
Yahoo.com. Stupid idea.
It's stupid, and if you meet a cute guy or cute girl, whatever your preferences are, at a party, and next day you found out, unfortunately, he or she has a AOL.com address.
Oh, you're using Hotmail? It's like an offense. You're right. You're using Hotmail? True.
And the highest form of net racism is done through real-time blacklist, RBL. They even block entire class CNets
where totally
they think spammers are on this class CNet. So every customer who shares the same ISP, they won't get emails through to people that believe in this stupid net racism thing.
Yeah, true. So two last stuff, because I think we are done. We could discuss hours for this.
I would just add a little comment on the business case problem. What's perfectly possible to do is filter based on keywords or blacklists and not delete it, but just put it in a different mailbox folder. And then if you got your mail server using IMAP and serve your business user only a POP account, then all he sees is his inbox. If you ever lose a mail, then it's in a subfolder. So on the office, you or the same guy could see it. Well, if he dials in, he only sees the inbox, only sees the filtered mail, which is actually what I use all the time.
As I understood you, the user still either sees all the subject lines, no?
Spam tagged email is going in a subfolder of the inbox. So if you log in over POP, then all you see is the inbox. So not anything that's below the hierarchy.
Yeah, thank you for attending the speech.